Okay, Parshas Achrimos, the Ravina B'chai begins with Kisei Shev Lulcham Es Moshe Bin Tavin Es Asher Lefanecha. That's the Pasuk in Mishlei Chaf Gimel Pasuk Aleph. So that means when you sit down to have dinner, Lulcham, with a Moshe, so understand well who you are sitting in front of. So the first way he explains that is basically watch out for the government. That when you, if you're going to get too close to a ruler, to a king, to a head of government, be careful, because it's good to be close to them, and that you might get rich, or they might help you out, or they might help the Jewish people out, or, you know, important things like that. If you get too close, it's not always healthy, because, as it says, bin tavin es asher lefanecha, so Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar understands that as, think about who came before you, not who is sitting in front of you, like the simple pshat, but rather think who came before you. Again, not as relevant, I would think, in a government of today, in a regular, like, democracy, but if you imagine a monarchy, so think about what happened to the last head of state that the king got angry at, or if you're in Korea, or Russia, maybe, I don't know, for sure North Korea, right? How good is it to get close to him? Look what happened to the people who get close to the head of Korea, right? It's good while they're lifted up and then and in charge, but then they may have their head chopped off. So be careful who came before you. In other words, don't be so quick to get close to the government. Another way of understanding that, he says, is regarding the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm referring to Hashem. That when you're trying to understand the Ribbono Shel Olam, so only understand what you can really understand, but don't try to understand what is above your pay grade, what's above something that a human being can understand. And that's how he segues into Achrimos, because that, he says, is what Nadav and Avihu did. Not so much in this parsha, but in an earlier parsha where it says, "Vayechazu Asa Elokim." So that was back in Parshas Mishpatim by Har Sinai. It says that "Vayura Elokei Yisrael V'Sachas Raglav K'Masilim Nesasapir." That they looked at what they shouldn't have looked at, which I assume means at least a bit of behind something they tried to think about, and or they had a hasaga of something that was above them, and that was wrong, and that's why they were chayav misa, as the pasuk says, "Velatzilei bnei Yisrael lo shalach yado ve'echazur es elokim ve'yuchlu ve'yishtu," and Hashem did not destroy Nadav and Avihu at the time, because he didn't want to ruin the Simchas HaTorah, but later on, at this point, in this sixth parsha, they did a second Avera, which is they brought this Esh Zara, they brought a Ketoros with an Esh Zara, a foreign fire. So Rabbeinu Bechai says they did two things wrong. One was that Vayechazu Es HaElokim, from Parshas Mishpatim, which they were not supposed to do, and that, he says, is part of what, that's what Moshe warned them not to do, don't be Nikrav Elahar. That's how he understands what they did. And that's why they came close to the mountain. I mean, they came too close. They got what they, hasaga, they shouldn't have gotten. They're chayv misiv then, but it didn't happen until now, because now their second avera, the first avera was in machshava, he says, in thought, and this avera is in maisa, in action, of bringing this esh zara. What exactly is the esh zara? So he says they brought an esh below ketoros. They brought a fire without a ketoros. What exactly that means, I do not know. I believe it's something LP, Kabbalah, because the pasuk says they did bring a ketoros with an esh, which is an esh zara. So what he means by that, I'm not clear. At least to me, it seems like it's something LP Kabbalah. But either way, they brought an esh zara. That was their second avera. And on this, he brings a fascinating medrash that says on the famous pasuk of. In Shmos Chaf Beis Ches, Al Kol Var Pesha, Al Shor, Al Chamor, Al Se, Al Salma, Al Kol Avida, Asher Yomar Ki Huze Ad HaElokim, HaElohim Yavod Var Shnehem, Asher Yashin Elohim Yishalem Shnayim L'Reyehu. So that is a famous pasuk that anyone who's learned in yeshiva has heard 10,000 times. We make a whole lot of learn a whole lot out of that pasuk. So of course, a simple reading of the pasuk is that somebody who was supposed to be watching something and stole it, so he brings kefil, but he pays kefil. So he understand. The midrash says the pasuk like this. It's referring to Nadav and Aviu. How do you like that? Called var pesha al short. Not Nadav Aviu. Excuse me. The story of Nadav Aviu, but Aaron. Aaron sinned at the golden calf, in a sense. At least he's, you know, did something that he's called a chait. And because of that, we know he was chayiv that his son should die. So it's from this pasuk. It says, "Akol dvar pesha on every avera al shor," which means on the shore, the egel azav that he brought. Al chamor, this refers to the mitzrim, which were the erev rav that caused the whole thing. Al seh is the Jewish people, which are like a seh. Al salma, which refers to the gedolim. Anyway, just to get to the end of that drush without going through the whole thing, that it says, Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh, refers to, let's just pick, this says, Klal Yisrael, I'll call it, the Al-Salmo refers to the Gedolim, I'll call Aveda, any lost item, the Jewish people were lost, Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh, that they said, Ki Huzeh, remember at the Aigal, they said, Eile Lehecha Yisrael, and Ki Zeh Moshe Ish, wasn't coming, so that's Ki Huzeh, Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh. So that refers to that they said that Moshe wasn't coming down again. They needed an egel. Ad ha-Elohim yavod var shnehem. And then it says, Asher yashin Elohim, if he is found to be guilty, yeshalim shnayim l'rei ehu. He must pay two. Those refer to the two sons of Aaron that died. Spooky medrash, but okay. Anyway, that's the medrash. Next, we have a pasuk that says, Ki be'anan eira'e alakaporet. So what does that mean? So if you read it like it sounds, that means Hashem will be in a cloud on the Kaporos, be seen on the Kaporos. So the Rebbeinu B'chai says, well, that can't be, because then that makes Aaron nothing special. Because it says there, the Pasuk says that all of Klal Yisrael saw Hashem in the Anan. It says, Hinei Kvod Hashem Nira Ba'anan Kol B'nei Yisrael in a Pasuk. So that can't be it. So he says, well, it doesn't say that. It says, Ki Be'anan in the cloud, Yira'el ha-Kaporos, then I will be seen on the Kaporos, which it's not 100% clear, I'd understand it, but it sounds like he's saying that Hashem is in the cloud, and then when Aaron comes in with the Ketores, he will leave the Anan and go on the Kaporos, on top of the Aaron, and the reason that's okay is because Aaron comes with the Ketores, which makes this own Anan, that's why it's not so clear what the Anan is when Aaron comes with his Anan from the Ketores, Hashem's in the Anan, and he goes on the Kaporos, but whatever it is, when Aaron comes in with his own Anan from the Ketores, so then Hashem goes on the Kaporos, because the Anan there shields Aaron's eyes from being Nene, or the Kohen Gadol's eyes from being Nene, from the Shekhinah too much, but that's what it means, Hashem's presence leaves the Anan and goes on the Ketores. Then it says he wears Ksonas Bad Kodesh, and each time it says, keeps repeating, bad, 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 ksonas bad, kodesh, yilbash, mechnesheh, bad, yi, abasara, bad, nid, bad, yachkar, nefes, bad, yitznof. Keeps repeating the word bad. So Chazal learned from him, each one of those bads is to exclude the four garments of Zahav that the Kohen Gadol cannot use, because ain kanteger, nerses, and eger, you don't go into the Kodesh Kadoshim with gold. And the way the Kohen Gadol is dressed is similar to the Avoda Aaron does, but the way he's dressed is similar to the Avoda done in Shemayim, as the Malach Michael is called the Levush Habadim. So he also is dressed that way, so Aaron is some dugma, some model to what's going on in Shemayim. Aaron's service is similar to the service of Michael, the angel in Shemayim. Okay, we have then the Seir La'azazel. So he says that refers to, that's the seer, of course, that you throw off the cliff. So that carries, he says that you're throwing, well, let's back up a little bit. There's a famous Ramban about this, which of course much of Rabbeinu B'chai goes with the Ramban and quotes a lot of it. The Ramban's understanding of why you throw that goat off the cliff is that you're kind of offering it, in a sense, to the Sar Hamidbar, to the Kochos Atuma, whatever, the bad side. And even though we're not allowed to give karbanos to anything other than Hashem, that's not the way it is. The fact that we have a Goral, and the Goral decides, which the Goral is of course controlled by Hashem, and the lottery decides which coin goes to Azazel, the idea is that we're offering the karbanos to Hashem, and Hashem says, give that one to my friend over there. So we offered it to Hashem. Hashem tells us to send it over there to the Azazel. So that's what we're doing. We're sending this Seir, but it's really going, that's the point, it's going off that cliff. It's in a sense going to that. So, and of course, Seir is Esav. Esav is called Yish Seir. It says that the Seir is Nosei Avonosam. Avonosam is Avonos Tam, the Avonos of Yaakov. Anyway, and the Rabbeinu Bechai adds, I don't think this is in the Ramban, Rabbeinu Bechai adds, that's similar with the Kohanim. When you offer a carbon to Hashem, and you give the meat to the Kohanim, that's the same idea. You're offering it to Hashem, and you give some to the Kohanim. It could be the Ramban mentions that too, I don't remember. Anyway, but that's the idea of the Seir HaZazel. Then we have the next pasuk. And this, if is probably the most important thing we're going to say this week, because it's I think it's a unique shita of Rabbeinu Bechai. And that is, the pasuk says, Hashocheni tam besoch tumosam. This is in Perek Tezayin, pasuk Tezayin. It says that Hashem dwells with the Jewish people besoch tumosam. And the Rabbeinu Bechai says something very interesting. He says, Zeh haya das Rabbi Yehuda Zal. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Zal in Masechet Sukkah, which says, Shahaya Omer Shemesakhin Bedavar HaMekabal Tuma. His opinion was, you can use Schach from a Dover HaMekabal Tuma because of our Pasuk. And even though we don't Paskin that way, that sheet that comes from the Pasuk. In other words, we're all familiar, you can't use something that's Mekabal Tuma for your Schach. That's why we use our great bamboo poles and things like that, because they're not Mekabal Tuma. But if you have something that is Mekabal Tuma, so then you can't use it. A kli, all kinds of things you can't use. So Rabbi Yehuda Zal, whoever that is, says that he disagrees and says you could use Davar HaMekabal Tuma, and comes from this pasuk because the Shechina dwells in the sukkah, right? The Shechina is in the sukkah. Shem Shechal Shem Shmayim Ala Karbon Kachal Shem Shmayim Ala Sukkah. Shem Shechina is in the sukkah, and if you can use Schach, that's Mekabal Tuma, that's because Hashem dwells with us, the Jewish people, Besoch Tumosam. Okay. Which Rabbi Yehuda is he talking about? So, some suggest, I believe it was the Aruch HaNer, says that Rabbi Yehuda refers to the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you can only use the Arba Minim for your Schach. That means, you would think, Ololov, stuff like that. But, if it means all four, it would mean an Esrog, and an Esrog could be Mekabal Tuma. Aha, so you see, he means, you see that Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that you could use even a Davar Mekabal Tuma. That's one possibility. Of course, you would say, you could say there's no proof because maybe it was less than the shear. The size of the Esro could have been less than a shear that's Mekabal Tuma, possibly. Either way, others suggest that Rabbeinu Bechai says here Rabbi Yehuda Zal. He doesn't refer to Tanoim as Zals ever. The fact that he refers to Rabbi Yehuda Zal, it probably refers to some Rishon that we don't necessarily know who it is. There's probably just some Shita in the Rishonim. Okay, that's just, again, a unique Shita you can quote. If there is, if he does refer to Rabbi Yehuda of the Masechet Sukkah, so then that's a unique Shita. If not, it's just a Rishon who held that you could be Masechet with Davar Mekabal Tuma. So now you know there's an opinion out there like that, but we don't pass it that way. Okay. After the Kohen Gadol is done with his avoda, so he has to leave his big day kahuna there. You don't use it ever again, as the pasuk says. V'yinicham sham chazal darshan. You leave them there forever. He just also quotes the Yerushalmi, the learns from another pasuk. It says yichatz v'mayim ulevei sham yivlu sham. That's the Yerushalmi's drasha. Yivlu sham means they get worn out there. You don't use them again. Okay. And it brings him Achlokas, the Kohen Gadol, what shame Hashem he said during Yom Kippur in the Avodah of Yom Kippur. Remember when he said, Va'ako anim v'am k'shay Yerushalmim. When they hear the shame HaMeforosh. Which shame Meforosh? Does it mean the Yudkei Vavkei? That's one opinion. I believe that was Rabbeinu Bechai. What he felt was more correct. And then there was the Rashba. The Rabbeinu Bechai, he's quoting the Rashba and the Rabbeinu Bechai himself, both felt that the shame that the Kohen said was the shame of Membe's Osios, but others say it means Rabbeinu Sadyagon says it was the for the Yud Kei Vav Kei. And again, just to mention, he just quotes the Machlokas Ramban and Rambam about what the reason why we have an Isser to eat Dam. Rambam says because the Mitzrim were really into it for their Avodah Zorah or their magic. So Hashem wants to keep us far away from that. And the Ramban disagrees and says because it comes from the Nefesh HaBahamis and it's Molid Achzarios in us. It would cause us to become cruel. And it also has the nefesh of the behemah, and we're allowed to eat the body, but not the nefesh. I'm just mentioning that, really, that obviously that's not Rabbeinu B'chai just quoting others, but still it's an important machlokas there. As far as the psukim talk about the Isser Arayos, so there we have, again, a machlokas, what the reason, obviously only Hashem knows, but giving different reasons why the Torah assered Arayos at all. Why is it that a person cannot marry their sister or whatever? What's wrong with that? So there are different opinions. There is the Ramban. The Ramban says because most of the arayos that the Torah has are people where it would not be a healthy child, like marrying a family member. So, and also if a woman's a nida, they're not going to have kids anyway. In other words, the Ramban's point is that intimacy is for the purpose of the main purpose is to have children, so therefore, in a relationship where children cannot come from that, then that's an erva that Torah is going to aser. Rabbeinu B'chai is not so happy with that because he says there's so many exceptions. Well, he says Ptsua Daka is an exception where no kid will come from that, and it's not like the person can't marry anybody. They can marry Gioris. Then the Rambam's reason is because to be Memayit it, to lessen Mishkal, because if a person was butter with their family members, there'd be too much Mishkal. The Ramban disagrees with that, because a person can marry 1,000 wives. But Rabbeinu B'chai's reason, his reason, is kind of Kabbalistic. So I'll just say the words he says. You can't be put things together that were already separated. So in other words, if you have people who never had anything to do with each other, to a man and a woman that had no connection to each other, having them become nisyachid is not a problem. But if something was close and split, like a family member, started from one and split into two, so then putting them together is... You can't have yichud from that. I'm not sure what it's a Kabbalistic thing, but I'm just mentioning. Obviously, all these things are a pure Kabbalah. The Ramban himself says the real reason for Arayos has to do with Soda Yibur, which is Gilgal's. Okay, either way, we're just mentioning them. Also, the Rabbeinu B'chai has a very interesting shita about, it says, the Pasuk says, Ushmartim Atem, this is in Perek Yudches, Pasuk Chavav, it says, Ushmartim Atem Eschukosai, obviously the word Atem seems very extra, Ushmartim Eschukosai is what it should have been. So what's the Atem? Rabbeinu B'chai says it is to exclude Nachrim, that if they want to keep mitzvahs, they can't. And then he quotes what you would think would be the raya that it's not true, because it says, a ben Noach wants to keep Shabbos as chayiv misa. Therefore what? You would think, therefore, only Shabbos and nothing else. Okay, Rabbeinu B'chai learns from that. Well, it sounds like that includes everything. They're not supposed to be shomer mitzvahs. A nachri. Okay, finally, at the very end, there's quite a long piece about what kares means. So the Rambam and others seem to hold that kares means someone who gets kares is cut off and gone. Once they got kares, they're just gone. They're over, their neshama is gone, goodbye, forever. Rabbeinu B'chai says he can't understand how that could be. One of his questions is that it's almost like a get-out-of-jail-free card. If somebody does something horrible, just like if they did tons of mitzvahs, they would get eternal reward. If somebody's beyond horrible, they should get eternal Tsaris. So how could it be that somebody gets curse, they just boom, they're just done, over and no problems? So he doesn't think that's true, and it goes with the shita of the Ramban, that the neshama does not get cut off as in non-existent, it just gets cut off from its source. Again, that's something, we don't understand exactly what that means. But cut off from its source, and it's not where it should be. Had it been where it should be, in other words, one of the other things Rabbeinu B'chai asks is it doesn't say Kares doesn't equal Ein Lo Chelek Olam Haba, in the sense that sometimes the Mishnah's things will say, this person is Ein Lo Chelek Olam Haba. So that he says means that they don't have a house, so to speak, a mador, a room in Olam Haba that's theirs. They don't get their own place. But he says they still get stuff. They're not totally gone, because it says it's all the Rabbeinu Bechai understanding. The neshama never goes away. It's nitzchi. It's eternal. It cannot be. It doesn't go away. What it is if the person is a super Rasha, so they are in Olam Hab, they're in Gehenim. Like he says, Gehenim is not for Beinanim, like should have come out according to the Rambam. Gehenim is for the real Rasha, it's for Rishayim, and they stay there forever if they're a real Rishayim. But even them, on Shabbos and Yontav, they're free. And that, he says, is like tzedakah. They don't have their, they'll never have their own mother in Olam Haba, but there's plenty of otzros tzedakah, he says, for them. And eventually they get to Tchias HaMesim, and this is the part which is not so clear to me. He said, it sounds like what he's saying to me is that after Tchias HaMesim, they got their punishment and they're good. And he says, this is what the Ramban says. I'm not sure that he meant that, but the Ramban, certainly in Shaar HaGmul, the people who are super Rishayim after Tchias HaMesim, they go right back down. And they do come back, they have another Yom HaDin, they go right back down. So, anyway, these are very deep things, and you know, everyone will know when Mashiach comes and he tells us. But either way, that's the main machlokas is what happens. Does the neshama get cut off completely, or that's the Shitas Rambam, or is it no, the neshama, like the Ramban or Rabbeinu Bechai, the neshama never gets cut off. It just gets cut off from its source, and therefore it will never have what it should have had. It'll never have its mother in Olam Haba. But it goes to Gehenim, and for those that are Zoche, it'll eventually come back up. It sounds like just not get what they should have gotten had they not been cut off. Or, possibly, or certainly someone who's a super Russia, they'll just be in Gehenim forever, or punished forever, whatever the right word is. But they'll be punished forever. But Karish just means that they're cut off from its source. And it's the Avera that cuts them off, because the Neshama can't be cut off. It's the Avera itself that cuts them off. And so again, either they'll suffer, they'll be in Gehenna or suffering forever, or possibly, the Rabbeinu Bechai doesn't quite sound like that. Again, not so clear. The Iker Machlokas is the Neshama cut off or not? That's the main Machlokas. Okay, we'll stop here.